Welcome to the Two Guys and Your Money podcast. Today is Thursday, August 8th, 2019. This is Jim Garber and Sean Balog with Process Design Capital Management in Phoenix, Arizona. Thanks for joining us on the podcast today. I know today we want to talk about the elephant in the room, which is the fixed income markets and what's been happening there this week. But also I want to at one point talk about the equity markets from a point and figure point of view as well. So where do you want to start with fixed income?
Why don't I take it away? I think I'll start on China, because China is the one that started this whole process going this week. I think you said it was Tuesday when China pegged their
now yuan. I'm thinking it was Monday.
It was Monday. Monday, the China pegged the yuan to 7-1. Earlier this year, it was 6.20-1, 6.40-1.
So it's a big move.
So it's a big move. I mean, it's a 10% correction in their currency. Net, that's bad for them, and it's good for us. But we'll see what happens over the long term. So what's happened is they reduced their currency by 10%. That made all products made in China, shipped to the United States, cost 10% less in terms of the dollar. That mitigates 10% tariffs. Now, Trump had announced last week that he's going to increase tariffs on $300 billion worth of goods to 10% in September 1st, and this is how China has retaliated. And this is part of the reason that there's really no inflation. And consumers aren't paying much more, if anything at all, for Chinese goods.
Because U.S. consumers.
Yeah, U.S. consumers. Because what's happening? China revalued its currency down 10%, makes their goods 10% cheaper, takes care of 10% worth of the tariffs. And then on top of that, the Chinese government is telling those businesses, sell the Americans these goods cheaper so we can keep the factories working. Over the long haul for China, that does not bode well. I mean, you can't keep on devaluing your currency. What happens? Sooner or later, you start getting lots of inflation.
Yeah.
And that's not good. And what else is happening? Anybody that's got money, if they that are citizens of China, they want to get that money out of there because the yuan keeps on being worth less and less and less.
So let's use...
But China, just one second, Sean. The China government, of course, can stop it anytime they want.
They can. But let's just use that wealthy Chinese person as an example. You could go anywhere in the world and find people or governments with money. They have to put that money someplace.
Right.
So you could, because of what China's doing to their currency, maybe you don't want to put your money there. So maybe you look to Japan or Europe. Now, these guys are just increasing and increasing their negative interest rate issuance. So back in October of last year, the total issuance of negative interest rate bonds from Europe and Japan was between 4 and 5 trillion. So you buy their bonds and you pay them for the privilege to loan them money. Now you can make money on the bond itself. If rates go further negative, you can actually profit on make a capital appreciation, but it's costing you money. You're paying them interest to loan them money. Not so in the United States. Although our rates are low, right now the 10-year bond is about 1.7, 1.75. Although our rates are low, they are at least positive. So what we've been seeing since October, the negative issuance of these other countries has gone from 4 to 5 trillion to 14.5 trillion. So they're issuing a ton of negative interest rate bonds. I would assume that you're seeing capital flow to the United States, to domestic bonds.
I mean, just think if you're a rich Chinese guy and you see that the value
or
of
a rich
holding,
any guy.
Yeah, you're a rich guy in China. Mm-hmm. And you see the value of your holdings just got depreciated by 10% versus other currencies. So what do you do? Say, well, I need to get a positive rate of return someplace. Maybe I'll just buy some dollars and then buy some treasuries with those dollars, because at least I can get a positive rate of return.
All right. So since October, we've been seeing bonds on the rise, despite the fact that interest rates were also rising. You know, if the Fed was raising short-term rates for a bit and bonds were going up at the same time. Sneeze break?
Yeah.
We got a sneeze break? Hold, please. All right.
Oh, okay. Sorry there, folks.
But yesterday we saw, or this week we've seen a massive slide in bond yields. And that's because we're seeing massive fund flows into bonds. Another beneficiary, although it does not pay interest, is gold. Gold hit six-year highs hit six-year highs yesterday. So you're seeing money flow into these other areas by driving bond prices up. You're driving interest rates down. What the ultimate effect of this is going to be to the economy will be interesting to see one day. I mean, at some point, this has got to come home to roost in some way, shape, or form.
It's going
to
take some time. I could go into my modern monetary theory, but I'll save that for another podcast.
Let's do that another time.
Yeah, to tell you what could happen long term. All right, who the heck knows? But anyway, it's caused all kinds of upheavals in stocks and bonds everywhere.
Everywhere. So the point and figure price objective for the 10-year yield, currently at about 1.7, 1.75, the target is 0.7%. That is, we've never seen it go below zero in my career or your career. It may not have ever gone, I'm sorry, below 1%. It may not have ever gone below 1%. I remember short-term rates went negative during the Great Recession, but it hasn't gone out to the 10-year.
No, no.
And not below 1% either. So we're in some interesting times, that's for sure. Also, from the point and figure world, this week was enough to reverse the New York Stock Exchange bullish percent, put us back on defense at 41.2%. So sort of midfield risk levels there. Supply is in control. The one that I'm going to keep you up to date on, and clients of ours will definitely want to stay in touch on via the technical update, is the positive trend for the New York Stock Exchange. The percentage of stocks that are in uptrends. Because that's just about to reverse down, and it has not been on defense all year. You have to go back to 2018 to see that. So hopefully that doesn't happen, but we're getting real close to that instance occurring, and there are some details that go with that that I'll share with you when that event takes place, if it takes place. That's all I've got for this week, Garber.
By the way, the 10-year, the lowest it's gotten is 1.36.
1.36 in history.
Yeah. That I can recall.
Okay.
It was 1.36. I think it was like around 2008, 2010,
yeah.
Somewhere around.
Sure, makes sense.
Anyway, folks, thanks for tuning us in. We'll talk to you all later.